I guess quick intro. This is Paul Sox, Deputy Director General, Math Policy. Paul, got Peter Griffin from the Science Media Centre, Marie McNicholas from Newsroom, Ryan Fellow from the Herald, Gavin Evans from Bloomberg, Kevin from RZ, you know.
Yeah.
I'm Ian Butler, and down over here we have Meredith Sutblake from International Policy, and our colleagues from Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Dave Courtney, and Laura Hogg. But Paul's going to do all the talking, so you can...
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Well, as Ian said, my name's Paul Stokes. I'm Deputy Director General here at MAF. And along with Dr. Harry Clark, who's the Director of the Agricultural Greenhouse Gas Centre here in New Zealand, we'll jointly be representing New Zealand at next week's Global Alliance Conference that Minister Grosser is chairing. And I suppose today is just an opportunity to give you a bit of a background about the Global Research Alliance, where it's come from, and what we think we might get out of next week. So I suppose to start from, it's a very significant exercise, I think, for New Zealand, and very important in the context of the global response to climate change. The Global Research Alliance itself is really all about bringing together kind of global expertise on and research and technology on agricultural greenhouse gas emissions and sequestration. And I think agriculture has increasingly been acknowledged as a really important factor in the global climate change scene. And, you know, I'd have to say that's partly because we've been saying it for some time now as New Zealand. It's 14% of global emissions come from agriculture, and in New Zealand it's 48% of our emissions profile. So we've been working pretty hard through all the climate change discussions to ensure that the profile of agricultural emissions was really noted, both in terms of how much they make of the world profile, but secondly, the difficulty of managing them, particularly in the context where we're looking at global food security. And you'll recall a couple of years ago, there was an intense amount of focus on the way in which the globe would feed the booming population of the world. And so that's the context within which we're working. And I think if you look at the background, at the end of the day, it's about growing more food without growing emissions. And in our view, the answer to doing that's going to lay fairly and squarely with research, with science and with technology, and with the take-up of that technology by farmers around the world. So Mr. Grosser announced or raised the concept of a global alliance in Poznan in 1998, and the Prime Minister announced that New Zealand intended to establish the global alliance at the UN General Assembly last year. And then in Copenhagen, along with everything else that was happening, we did launch the global alliance, and I think we've launched it to, you know, quite significant success. So far we have 28 countries who have signed up to the Global Research Alliance, and those 28 countries will be in Wellington next week at the senior officials level to try and essentially work out what this thing is going to look like, how it's going to structure itself, and how it will run over its life. Don't expect that next week we'll come out with the answers. Those things never happen that quickly in international discussions, but I do expect that we will be starting on the road towards a ministerial announcement maybe this time next year. The basic proposition of the Global Alliance is about collaboration and sharing of expertise. Nobody around the world has a monopoly on expertise. New Zealand, for example, has a huge amount of experience and investment in extensive livestock, but we wouldn't pretend to be the only part of the world that has a contribution to make to that research. So the concept is that countries from around the globe and researchers and scientists from around the globe will work together, pitch their efforts in, and hopefully crack how to grow more food with less emissions. The idea, I think, is to have a very light-handed alliance structure on the top, where with countries coming together to agree how it will be done, and underneath that to have a series of, at this stage it's looking like, four research groups or groupings: extensive livestock, intensive livestock, arable and cropping, and paddy fields and rice growing. Some countries have already pledged funds to the Global Research Alliance, although I've got to emphasise it's not about money, actually. Money's important, I suppose, to get the ball rolling, but it's as much about how this thing proceeds in terms of cooperation. So New Zealand has announced $45 million New Zealand over 4 years to get the ball rolling, as it were. and that's in addition to the $50 million that we put into the Domestic Greenhouse Gas Research Centre. The United States has put in, or pledged $90 million for 5 years, and Canada $27 million over 4 years. But as I said, money is not the key issue. It's not required to sign up. All that's required to sign up is to say that you care and you want to cooperate, and you'll be in the room together with your scientists to drive this thing. So next week, we're hoping, as I said, to put the bones out about how the thing's going to work, how the governance and support structures for the Alliance will work, how the research groups themselves will work, and what they will be focusing on in the initial instance, and the next steps through to a ministerial meeting next year to sign off the charter. I think there'll be at least a couple more of these meetings over the course of the next year. We're really pleased that, you know, we've got so many senior officials coming so far to commit to this. I think it shows the seriousness with which they take it. We're looking forward to a pretty successful event. So that's the outline. You've got a media pack here, but at this point, I suppose, are there any questions?
What were those four word groups again? What were the two last ones?
Extensive and intensive. So grazing, which is basically what New Zealand does, and intensive livestock. Arable and cropping.
Yeah.
And then rice field and paddy.
And when you say it's officials level.
So senior officials.
I understood that there were some politicians coming.
We've got Minister Grocer is chairing it as the host.
Yeah.
We have senior officials levels, so that tends to be second tier and third tier.
And scientists?
Yes, so each country basically brings a policy representative and a science representative, and others, of course, but at the table in each instance will be science and policy together, because this needs both.
Right, and what about... Professor Gluckman is. I thought he
so
was involved.
Professor Sir Peter Gluckman is chairing some of these sessions on research.
How many altogether do you expect?
I think at this stage we're up to 80, but these things flux on the way, so I'd expect we'll probably get a few more before next week. But that's correct.
Yep. You mentioned that there are 28 countries signed up so far. Any notable emissions so far? Like, I noticed China's not on the list. It must be one of the biggest agricultural producers.
Well, China will be coming next week as an observer. There is no cut-off date per se for people to sign up, unless I've missed something. Both China and Korea are coming next week. I think actually when you look at the range of countries that are on the joint ministerial statement, and which tends to be growing by the day, I have to say, what's notable is the breadth of range and nature and type of countries that are at the table, from large producing countries, large consuming countries, different types of product. And I think the breadth of representation highlights the fact that, I suppose, early on in the game, people sort of thought that agricultural climate change issues were an issue for producing countries. But in fact, the reality is that everyone consumes. And I think what we've seen over recent months and year is the realisation that agricultural emissions are a global issue, not just for those producing countries.
Now, there's only one from Africa, I noticed. So, and of course, Africa, you could say, to a large extent, is a producing continent. So, are there any? Is the members of the Alliance going out and trying to sign up on this or assist them?
We've been. Prioritising, I suppose, is the word, the Global Research Alliance quite intensively over the last few months. We had the Honourable Simon Upton as our special envoy up until recently, and he's now taken a role at the OECD, along with foreign affairs and MAF officials. Certainly also ministers have been, you know, extensively selling the message that they think this is a useful thing to be involved in. So as I say, I don't think the list of representatives that we have at the moment is final. I expect there will be more coming aboard as the events unfold.
You mentioned sequestration as well as emissions. What are you talking about? Is it soil carbon?
Primarily soil carbon. This is not forestry.
Okay.
You mentioned it, of course, touched on the fact that New Zealand is doing quite a lot of leading in this research, and that's a lot of it focused around mitigating methane emissions from livestock, I guess. But
yes.
New Zealand got in mind anything that others can contribute that it may not be up to the play on, or recognises others are doing more work on? Sequestration is one, maybe, but I mean, are there any areas that New Zealand will be looking to some of those other members to beef up the research on?
Well, I suppose that's where Dr. Clark would come in as a scientist, but I think what I would say is even if we have, you know, a degree or a high degree of expertise in for example, the extensive pasture grazing, the biological sciences here are really complicated, and they're likely to draw upon expertise all around the world. So be it on grass strains that produce less emissions, or in fact rumen biology, and rumen biology is somewhere we're actually, you know, quite world leading. So it's hard at this point to say exactly what the nature of that collaboration will look like. One of the sessions that will be happening in the event next week is a stock take to see exactly what type of research is happening around the world and where those opportunities for early collaboration can take place. We've already been running a precursor to this, which is the Livestock Emissions and Abatement Research Network, which was essentially a network of scientists without much in the way of overarching kind of governance, where they shared information by email and in meetings. And again, New Zealand established that. And we've found researchers around the world, whether it be in Brazil, United States, Europe, where we'd be able to collaborate and gain from.
How strong is that will to collaborate? I mean, you start, you look at European countries, for instance, you've got the debate going on that will probably rise again over food miles, for instance, and sooner or later, people looking for market advantages are going to pop up. Has this got the legs to ride over those sort of national interests, if you like, in the end, and collaborate for the greater good and without national trading interests getting in the way in the long term?
You know, I think it is, because I think that everyone will benefit from mitigation technologies and adaptation technologies.
But, so, I mean, what about, you know, who pays the piper calls the tune? I mean, the major funding is coming from countries with more of an interest in, say, cropping or intensive livestock rearing. Is the danger that the resources and the priorities will flow there simply because that's where the funding is coming from?
Well, it's not clear to me at this stage that that's going to be the case. And I think that the representation of sovereign nations around the table, I mean, this becomes a discussion about how the world is going to respond, not just about where the money flows are coming from. So in the absence of effective mitigation technologies, and remember my comments around this is a consumption issue as much as a production issue, in the absence of being able to reduce the emissions intensity from production in agriculture, that kind of inter alia says that other types of emissions will have to make a bigger a mitigation attempt. So I think that the interests are actually probably quite well aligned.
Just looking at the agenda, does it come back into open session later in the timetable, or is it closed from the point of...
I think at this point we're intending that it be closed.
Closed from 1
yeah,
o'clock on
but what we will
Wednesday.
Be is have people available to speak to media, and there'll be a statement at the end about where things have got. So it won't be a deep silent black hole.
No. There'll be something on the Friday, will there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Dave and I might just give a quick wrap up at the end of what the details will be in terms of working through, getting things throughout those 3 days.
Could Mr. Gross not talk at the end?
Oh, absolutely, I'm sure he can, but you will give a quick rundown. Yeah.
Do you have a sense at the moment of what the stock take will show? I mean, are there any obvious areas at the moment that, you know, you think we need to sort of mobilise more research into?
It's a bit early to say until we've done the work next week, actually.
Yeah.
Have any of the participants indicated what they want to see settled? Because I spoke to Tim Grosser last week, and he thought the issues of intellectual property are going to be a problem or an issue.
I think it's going to be an issue rather than a problem. I mean, I think the issue of intellectual property in any kind of research area is always going to be one where you have to talk around it and decide, you know, where the balance of open information and public benefit lie versus actually getting people to the table and doing the research. So, you know, that's why IP is always such a complex beastie to sort through. I expect that we will at least have some opening discussions around IP next week. I don't think it'll be cracked. because of its complexity. And it's true that different people will come to the table, as in all cases, with, you know, slightly different perspectives on it.
But has anyone else indicated, any of the countries indicated what they want to tackle in particular?
Around IP or more?
Or any issue. I just nominated IP. But
okay, so where we have got to and what is that the agenda reflects our discussions with countries so far about things they want to cover. And those are how we're going to govern this, what are the financial arrangements that we might have, how will the research groups actually work, how are they linked to our partner organisations that are not sovereign, how will we start thinking about processes for dealing with IP, and what do we do after at the end of next week in terms of the next stage. So those are the kind of the broad headings, and you can see those reflected in the agenda.
And is there any attempt to make New Zealand, because New Zealand started this off, any attempt to make New Zealand kind of like the centre of it, or the home base?
Well, we've been a very keen advocate for it. You know, we're happy to provide any support that the group next week asks for. There will need to be a secretariat somewhere, I suspect, and probably a small light-handed one. It'll be a question of where that's best placed and you know, who's best placed to do it. This is a collaborative exercise. We've been pleased to lead it to date, but you know, next week the rubber hits the road.
The recently opened centre,
yeah,
up at Palmerston North, now there were indications that might act as a coordinating.
We're expecting that in the New Zealand context it will. So we're likely to put up a hand and say, look, we have experience in extensive, we'd like to, you know, be very active and maybe lead that particular research group, and I'm expecting that the research centre will be the focal point for that, and that's why Harry Clark will be at the table next week as the director.
So these research groups could be based in, when you said New Zealand could lead that, for instance,
it'll read the collaboration.
Other countries could lead the other collaborations in the other three areas.
Yeah, you need someone to put their hand up and say, look, we'll pull this together, which is not to say that it all happens in one country or it's all one country's investment, but basically this is about organising scientists and together to work together.
Do you have anything sort of like a pie chart on of those four areas? How big is, say, paddy rice compared with ruminant methane, or in terms of the relevant? Some number that would give us.
We can give you some follow up.
Are they roughly equal importance, or is one dominant?
Look, I can't answer that off the top of my head. I did actually ask a similar question this morning, and the response I got sort of made me go, I'm not quite sure how to read that.
But it's fine, Brian. I can play it for you learning now. Oh, just some details.
You mentioned that you were expecting perhaps an initial report out in about a year.
Hoping. These things are always subject to the, you know, there are 28 countries at least who have got to agree on this, that by this time next year ministers might have signed off on a charter and the thing is, you know, locked and loaded. The challenge for officials in the meantime is to get to an agreed position that ministers can sign off, as is always the case in this.
So at that point, you know, you have rules for how funding might be allocated.
Yeah.
You know, actually,
you'd have a chart that says this is how it's going to work, here's how the funding goes if that's one of the elements, here's how we're going to assess the results on an annual biannual basis, here's the role of ministers, here's how the research groups will talk to each other, here's the access point for private organisations and intergovernment organisations, etc.
Has anyone looked out further beyond that? Okay, get all this set up, get people working together, the collaboration goes on. Any timeline for when you might expect to perhaps start seeing something coming back out of all of that?
You mean in terms of actual research results?
Research results, and I mean, has anyone sort of run up any of that sort of projection?
No, and I think, you know, you'd be pretty heroic to do so, because research is by its nature a bit of an uncertain investigation. So saying that we will have cracked rumen biology by 2012, for example, you'd be a brave betting person to do that. I think we will have clarity about the areas that we're going to be focusing our research on.
Was there any thought of including the methane and permafrost as part of this? Was that straying a little far?
I think it's probably straying a little far at the moment. I mean, you know,
what could you do?
I think even as it is, it's actually a reasonably broad and ambitious grouping, so, you know, let's crack this group first.
The four areas, and we know that work's been going on in livestock, etc. But any of those areas where really nothing much has happened so far in the way of research or investigations?
You know, I doubt that very much, but I suspect that it's been happening in the, you know, producing countries of most interest. So, you know, I've got a pretty good understanding, for example, in New Zealand about the work that we're doing on nitrification inhibitors, on plant biologies, on rumen biologies. I have a very low level of information about what might have been happening in rice paddy management. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why we're saying you actually need to get all the contributors in the same place to share that information.
Do you happen to know of that 14% of global agricultural emissions, which countries are the biggest contributors to that?
Not off the top of my head, but again I would flip it around and say the production may happen anywhere, but the consumption is also the factor. So you know, in New Zealand, for example, is a big exporting nation. We export by far the vast amount of our food, so not only we have an interest in the emissions of that, but the people who consume our food should have an interest as well.
You said that forestry is not going to be involved here, so you're not going to get into issues of land use for, you know, land use change, deforestation for planting, for agricultural planting?
No, no. I mean, those discussions have been held in the context of Copenhagen, the LULUCF negotiations. So those proceed apace within that forum rather than apace. I didn't say what pace.
At a pace. Okay. Well, Marie, you raised the point about the arrangements on the over the day. Mm-hmm. So obviously the opening session, if you like, the official opening and the welcome and things, that is all open to the public, and you're welcome to attend. From there, the meeting goes into closed session, and mainly the reason for that is that there's, you know, a very ambitious agenda to get through, and a lot of people who need to get through it. So the idea basically is to try and free that meeting up from as many distractions as possible and let them simply get on with the work. We do have an official from the US Department of Agriculture, I believe, who will be available at some points. Obviously they'll need to be working very hard with this group as well, but they've agreed to be available on a limited basis to media, so there's a possibility there. As Marie mentioned, Ministers Carter and Grosser will be attending at points. Minister Grosser will be well truly involved throughout this meeting, so as usual, I think Rachel will be your conduit there to get any information or comment off him. And if you want to explore talking to the USDA official or indeed anyone else, Dave Courtney, I think, is that right, Laurie? Dave's going to be the man on the ground for media people to get through. So if you want to get Dave's contact details at some point, so he's going to be on the ground.
Actually, I'll give you my cell phone number now if you want it. 021-244-1301. So I'm going to be there the Wednesday, Thursday, or if not there, I'll be available by phone if you wanted to get hold of someone. And then Friday will be my colleague Nikki Grant. And her number is 021-375-105.
And then on the Friday afternoon, once the meeting's finished up, there is an intention to have, at the very least, a statement from ministers summarising, in particular, the law, Meredith Law, the where and when of the next meeting, and some of the key accomplishments over the 3 days. So obviously following that, there'll be the Melbourne opportunity to talk to me as well. We had hoped to do something a bit more engaging, should we say, something along the lines of a press conference, but the time pressures of this meeting, the fact that it's squeezed in those 3 days, just made it unrealistic. So apologies for that, but we'll do our best to accommodate whatever needs you have for the time.
What's the venue?
It's at Te Papa. Oh, it's starting in the Marae and then moving to, what's the name of the room? Oceana Room. So if in doubt, ask someone friendly with a thumbprint on their shirt, because they'll know where everything's going on. Fantastic. Good as gold. Pat, you're happy?
Is there any scope for, throughout the conference, international scientists? Is there anything planned there to have them available for answering any sort of questions about the research?
That's a good question.
What about our keynote speaker and teaching? Do you know anything about that? Can I be teaching?
Yeah.
I'm
going to
give it a... Okay. Yeah, we are trying to explore some of that.
Okay.
So we'll keep trying in that regard. Yeah.